Welcome back to another episode of Talkin' Moto. Wasn't able to get one out last week for a little halfway season recap type of deal with just a bunch of crazy stuff going on in my life, so I wasn't able to get that out, but we'll start the show with a little bit of it today. So looking back at the first half of the season, some real big things that stuck out to me was Chase Sexton seemed like he had all the speed in the world, had all the speed he could ever need, and it seemed like he was just constantly making silly mistakes. I feel like it related a lot to Eli Tomac on his Kawasaki days, when he would go out there, he could win a race, any race, no matter what, but then the next week he might go out and get a seventh from self-inflicted wounds, pretty much, from bad starts or just weird crashes that he ended up having. I feel like that has been pretty much the summary of Chase Sexton's season. Just look back at from like 2019 back to like 2015, Eli Tomac, when he was battling Ryan Dungey for the championships, seemed like he had that problem quite a bit, of just self-inflicted wounds and just wasn't able to get championships because of two, three fluky type of races. But now it's all on Chase Sexton. I think he's having the same problem, or he was having the same problem. Might have cleaned it up in Birmingham a little bit. We'll see, obviously, a little bit later on in the season if this all sticks, if Birmingham is the new Sexton, or if first half of the season Sexton comes back. Another thing, injuries. Injuries have pretty much taken out three championship caliber guys between the two Lawrence brothers and Eli Tomac. I don't remember the last time we had so many. Wait a minute. Never mind. Brain got messed up. I was thinking Jet Lawrence had an Achilles. I was going to say, I don't remember last time we had so many Achilles, but Jet Lawrence was an ACL in Glendale. Eli Tomac, broken leg in San Diego, was it? I can't even remember when Tomac ended up breaking his leg. And now that's... okay. And then Hunter Lawrence with the shoulder issue. Big worry for Hunter Lawrence. The shoulder issue is, he's had plenty of shoulder issues in the past. So really just wondering how he will be able to recover from it and if he will be able to recover 100% from it, because I know he contemplated retirement during his 250 career due to all the injuries he was withstanding after coming over here to the United States. Ken Roczen didn't come out until Birmingham, but he, what was it, a sprained AC joint in his shoulder. I guess that happened the Friday of their off week. So, not press day, but the week before this past press day. It would probably help to pull a calendar up here. The 14th. Is when Ken Roczen got the sprained AC joint from a practice crash. And really, if you would have taken, coming into Birmingham, if you take Tampa out, there's a good chance Ken Roczen might have the red plate still. He's got one win. He's been on the podium, seems like, every week almost. Let's get Ken Roczen results pulled up here. So yeah, Anaheim 1, 2, San Diego 4. He's finished off the podium in San Diego with a 4th. Tampa, the big crash, the chain falling off, 21st. And then Indy and Birmingham. He went 7 in Indy and 5 in Birmingham with the hurt shoulder. So I think he could have easily been in championship contention still. Technically, yes, he's still in it, but he is 27 points back. Hard to make up 27 points in, I think, 7 races. So he's pretty much, it's a 2-horse race now, Cooper Webb and Chase Sexton. So Cooper Webb, we'll talk Cooper Webb first half now. You give him an inch, he takes a mile. He's been there to capitalize on everything, everybody else's downfall so far this season. Injuries for the Lawrence brothers and Tomac. Self-inflicted wounds by Chase Sexton. Cooper Webb's been there to capitalize on everything. With just 1 win so far on the season and still being up 8 points. Very impressive. Just shows how consistent he's been. And Cooper Webb has won championships like this for a reason. I think it's going to be very difficult for Sexton even to make up just 8 points here on Cooper Webb. Yes, he made up a little bit in Birmingham. Cooper Webb, first race crash, kind of hurt his night. 250 first half. We'll start with the West because, well, that's how the season started. Well, we'll just get into it now. Points leader Hayden Deegan was arrested the Friday night before Birmingham. Not really a first half type of deal, but it happened for supposedly breaking street racing laws in the state of Florida. I guess he was doing donuts and burnouts or something in a gas station parking lot. I know a bunch of people you'll see on social media say, oh, we were all young and dumb at one point. Sure, but not all of us were street racing while sponsored by Monster, Yamaha, Thor, Alpine Stars, all that. You can't be doing dumb stuff, really. Is it dumb? Yes. Honestly, I don't really know what else to say on it, except for the fact that he's going to make a bunch of money on it because he's already got t-shirts up for sale. Seems like he doesn't really care and still thinks he's pretty untouchable from what it sounds like and what it seems like he's posting. Thought maybe we were getting a new Hayden Deegan based on how his last couple interviews went on podiums and in press conferences and whatnot. But maybe not. It's Brian Deegan's son, so who knows what can come from him. Julian Beaumaire, Juju, kind of came out of nowhere first half of the season. I don't think he was really talked in super high regard for championship contention. He did have Glendale. I think he crashed in every single race, 2 of them while leading in either the first turn or the second turn. But he's only 6 points back. I think it's a lot easier for him to make up the 6 points than Sexton to make up 8 points. Just based on the fact that it's 250s, maybe a little more inconsistent. Now that being said, more inconsistent, yes. But then Julien Bomer's got to be more consistent if he wants to make up the points. He's kind of got a Yamaha rider on his side a little bit for helping make up points in Cole Davies. He might go out there and steal a win or two now from Deegan, or passing him, giving Julien Bomer a lot better chance of making up more points. So it's going to be interesting to see how team tactics get ran. I know there's always seems like there's been a lot of talk of team tactics in this sport. How much are you really teammates if you're going out there and racing and whatnot? Really, it all comes down to the championship and how is Star Yamaha going to play the teammate card here with Davies and Deegan. Obviously, Julien Bomer is out there on his own. Only 250 guy for KTM on the West Coast. So he's got nobody under the same tent as him. Joe Shimoda started out with a win. Something big happened. Very next qualifying session in round two, with the pit board, broken fingers. He never got a good, solid chance for them to heal. I've been seeing a lot of videos during their break of him riding outdoors. So maybe he's finally got some healed up fingers and he's not going to be riding with two or three broken fingers anymore. But looking big total picture, we got East Coast as well. Obviously, we had a big injury and shakeup in the championship in qualifying in Birmingham with Max Anstey also breaking his leg, I do believe. It was broken fibula. So Tom Vial had a one-point lead going into Birmingham. Spoiler alert. He was able to grow it even with only getting a third from a 1 point lead to a 10 point lead. Also saw quite a few people confused on how he was able to do that when RJ Hampshire beat him, but he came into the race with a 1 point lead. He's leaving with a 10 point lead. 10's bigger than one, so that's how that happened. I think Tom Vial, championship mindset. I know I said a lot of this in the last episode after he got the red plate. Championship mindset. I think he'll be able to hang on to this red plate. RJ Hampshire. I compared Chase Sexton to Eli Tomac Kawasaki days. I think RJ Hampshire is really just the 250 version of Chase Sexton. Usually always has all the speed, always up there near the top in qualifying. And it seems like sometimes when he doesn't need to push, he just continues to push. It makes a mistake and costs him more points. He hasn't done that so far in the first half, really, this year. There's even a race, I think it might have been in Tampa, where he said after he just wasn't feeling the best. So, unlike his normal self, he didn't go out there and try to push it. He just played it safe and rode in for a 18th. Okay, so it wasn't Tampa. I think it might have been Detroit, he said that. Yikes. Big difference in places, but... oh, excuse me. But yes, if RJ Hampshire can keep his head on his shoulders like he's been doing for the most part, this championship could come down very well till a winner-take-all type of scenario that he was in last year in Salt Lake City against Levi Kitchen. Who else in the East? Really, I mean, Max Anstey, we can touch on him for a little bit here, pretending it's still before Birmingham, I guess. This season, points lead, losing the points lead to Tom Vial again, like last season, very, very similar. Going in, but last year, holy smokes, I just remembered last year it all unraveled and Birmingham for Max Anstey when he had a mechanical problem, and this year it all unraveled for Max Anstey in Birmingham with a broken leg. Max Anstey might want to consider going to the West Coast to get away from Birmingham next year. Yeah, he was having a very solid season. Going into Birmingham, down in the championship by just 1 point to Tom Vial, and then broken leg. Yeah, I think that's probably good enough here for a little first half of the season recap. So we will get into Birmingham. Fast forward in life to Birmingham, because it's no longer an off week. Qualifying, Seth Hamaker, after winning Indianapolis. Honestly, is that his first one? No, he had 2021, he had a win in Arlington, and then he had a Monster Energy Cup win. So, his first win in 4 years. Yes, 4 years. Seth Hamaker wins again in Indy, comes out to Birmingham, fastest qualifier with a, I gotta mess this all around, 58.618, right in front of RJ Hampshire. Like I said, RJ Hampshire usually has a lot of speed to play with. RJ Hampshire with a 58.784, so just a tenth behind Seth Hamaker. And then looking in qualifying in sixth, Tom Vial with a 59.924, so a little bit off of pace. It seemed like it was kind of that way all day for Tom Vial in the races, including the races, except for maybe that first one where he got a little fishy and tried to get after RJ Hampshire there at the end. Do they have him all the way? I did not get a chance to watch qualifying, so I'm looking to see if they have Max Anstey on here. Maybe, I don't know if he broke his leg in qualifying. It might have been in free practice then, because yeah, he's not on the qualifying list. Interesting. Yeah, that was just something random I wanted to go look for. So, main event number one for the 250s. Hampshire grabs the whole shot. Seth Hamaker, fastest qualifier, right behind him. In about the third turn, I think their shadows might have played a little bit of a role in it. Just kind of slid out. Maybe he didn't realize how wet the dirt still was after them watering it. Caused a massive pileup. But Hampshire, being in the lead, was able to avoid it. Vial was also able to avoid it all. And Vial kept RJ Hampshire pretty honest the entire race, really, especially the last lap and a half, two laps, where it looked like Tom Vial was going to put in a solid chance at making a pass. Wasn't able to make it happen, though. So RJ Hampshire did finish in first after grabbing the whole shot with Tom Vial, Nate Thrasher, and Seth Hamaker down in ninth. Killed his night. One little mistake, sliding out, not recognizing how slippery it was. In my head, I still think it might be the shadows coming out of the shadows and then into that turn. I think maybe just, trying to give Seth Hamaker a little bit of grace with this one. But yeah, that ninth place, pretty much ended it for him. At least ended his shot at the overall. Still had a chance at podiums late in the other races. Main event number two, Hamaker grabbed the whole shot. RJ Hampshire right behind him. Vial did not seem very comfortable whatsoever. He went backwards all the way down to fifth place is where he ended. Seth Hamaker was able to go out, put in a really strong ride, just like Hampshire in race one. Wire-to-wire ride. Hamaker does that in race two. So it just kind of makes you think he was the fastest qualifier. He was in second place in turn three in race number one. Goes down. Fights back to ninth. Race number two. Pulls the whole shot. Wins the race. I think Seth Hamaker would have won the overall. Obviously, doesn't sound like a crazy outlandish take now that the racing is over and he won the last two races. But, oh well, I'll say it anyway. Hang on, we're going to take a slight break here. Okay, and we are back for 250 main event number Trey. That means three in absolutely no English or language. Actually, it might, I don't know. Yeah, Hamaker goes out, grabs yet another hole shot. I noticed Tom Vial in race two and in race three, off of both starts, he went pretty wide. I don't know if he was just trying to got bad jumps, trying to stay out of all the craziness, but also like trying to look and find replays. Okay, I found one of race three. Couldn't find one of race two. Watching Vial now, as soon as he gets like the middle of the first turn, he's got the whole shot probably locked up, and back end just kind of slides out a little bit, allows Hamaker to go up the inside and grab the whole shot with Nate Thrasher also sneaking by at the time. So yeah, maybe he just went into the first turns, the second two times, with a little bit too much speed. I know he's typically, Tom Vial is typically a very good starter, so maybe just didn't quite have it there in the last two races. But Nothing really crazy happened in this race. RJ Hampshire didn't get a very good start. That's the craziest thing that happened. He got a bad jump. Looked like he had to kind of pull the clutch in a couple times. Rewatching it now. Yeah, he got a bad jump. He was pretty near the back of the pack going into the first turn. Then a couple guys went down right in front of him. And I can't tell if he ran this guy over or if he went around him. But yeah, very bad start. I didn't notice live how bad of a start it was for RJ Hampshire. That's what cost him the overall and gave it to Nate Thrasher. Okay, I was just looking in the big takeaway portion if that was in there, and we do got a little Hampshire down there. Sounds weird. Where was I? Tom Viel. Like I said, kind of slid out a little bit in the middle of turn one. Hammaker and Thrasher got by. Those two finished. Hammaker won. So Seth Hammaker goes on after a mistake in race number one. Finishes with a 9. Goes on to win the next two. Nate Thrasher went with the overall win with a 3-3-2. So we have yet another Triple Crown winner. Where he didn't actually win a single moto. But Triple Crown, love him, hate him, got to be consistent. You can't afford a 9 in race number one. Even with Hammaker going 1-1 in the next two, he still finishes off the podium. RJ Hampshire, that bad start cost him because he finished tied in points with Nate Thrasher, but with Thrasher getting a 2 in race 3, Hampshire getting a 5 in race 3, tiebreaker goes to Nate Thrasher, just like in outdoor motos, a 2-1 beats a 1-2, final moto is the tiebreaker. And then Tom Viel, like I mentioned earlier, extends his points lead and rounds out the podium with a 2-5-3 for 10 points. And Thrasher and Hampshire both had 8 points. So maybe that 5, you find a way to squeeze in another 3 there, which would take Thrasher out of that spot. And now I'm doing way too much math in my head and don't understand any of it, just trying to find a way for Tom Viel to win in the tie situation. Oh, well. He didn't. So, yeah, Nate Thrasher goes out, wins first of the year. Big takeaway time. We'll just jump right into it now. That is 5 winners, 5 different rounds. I should say 5 rounds, 5 winners. Seth Hammaker, he had a chance to go 5 rounds, 4 winners by being the first to win 2. Unable to do that. That first race mistake cost him very, very much. RJ Hampshire also had the chance to make it 5 rounds, 4 winners, but that bad jump in race number 3, where he was only able to come back to 5th, like if he just gets a 4th there. He said he put in a couple laps to see if he could get to Daxton Benick in 4th, said he couldn't do it. Said it wasn't worth it. So once again, RJ Hampshire looking like maybe we got a new RJ Hampshire learning from previous mistakes and not repeating them. So that's always very good to see. I don't think I really said what he said. Said he just, in the press conference after, he just couldn't make up the time and settled for a fifth there. So, I mean, a fifth in race three compared to a fourth in race three, obviously big difference because that would have given him the overall win all on his own. But like I said, it goes to Nate Thrasher, his second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. Oh, he's won more than I thought. Six wins already in his career. Last one came in San Diego last year. So, yeah, first podium of the year for Nate Thrasher. What else do we got here? Oh, I kind of mentioned it a little bit with the Seth Hamaker incident. I think race one, there was so many bad shadows. I seriously think that played a huge part in race one. I'm giving Hamaker the benefit of the doubt and saying race one crash due to the shadows. Now, is that what actually happened? I don't know. I haven't seen him come out and dispute my point that he hasn't heard yet. So, 1-0 me. Honestly, we'll go look at points here before we move on. Tom Viel, 99 points. Would look so much cooler if it was just a flat 100, but it makes it easy with RJ Hampshire having 89. So Viel, like mentioned, extends his points lead from 1 to 10. Hamaker now 13 down. Anstey and Thrasher tied 21 down, but obviously we will see Max Anstey drop a little more every race going forward. It's a three-dog fight here. We got Hamaker, we got Hampshire, and we got Viel. I feel like it's very common thing mentioned. Tom Viel knows how to win championships. In an interview, he said he would rather win championships than win races. Team pays him to win races. Team pays him to win championships. Yes, race wins are good. This is now me speaking. Yes, race wins are good. Race wins help towards championships. But we did see Tom Viel last year, only 2 wins, win the championship, and now no wins and still up 10 points in the championship. So I hope Tom Viel wins this purely for my own personal gain, because it would be my only correct championship pick. I mean, I had Jet Lawrence in the 450s and I had Joe Shimoda in the West. So, I mean, Jet Lawrence, torn ACL, Joe Shimoda, 2 broken fingers in round 2. Maybe I'm just bad luck. I don't know. But, hey, I'm going to keep picking championship predictions and see how far we can get it. I think that really about wraps us up here for the 250s at least. So now we will get to the 450s, the big boys, for the final Triple Crown race right now. Okay, so the man with all the speed, as always, Chase Sexton, He qualifies fastest with a 57.228, right in front of a little bit of a surprise. Justin Cooper qualifying second with a 57.961. And I know Chase Sexton in the post-race press conference said they knocked the whoops down a little bit after qualifying. So that also kind of surprises me that Justin Cooper was able to have such a good qualifying time with how much he struggles in the whoops. Him and Cooper Webb both kind of struggle quite a bit in the whoops. Cooper Webb qualified third with a 58.113. And the big takeaway from qualifying was Malcolm Stewart had two pretty big crashes. The first one, I believe, Justin Hill got, he said he got a little wheel spin coming off the face of a jump, lost control, and Malcolm Stewart was just wrong place, wrong time, didn't have anywhere to go, and landed pretty hard on his hip. That definitely you could see, especially after, I believe it was race two, they showed Malcolm Stewart walking back into the trailer, and there was a very, very, very noticeable limp that he had. Yeah, I believe it was race two. He had a very noticeable limp. He also, I do believe he crashed another time in qualifying where he landed on a tough block. So reports came out, I believe it was from his mechanic before the night show started, that nothing was really bothering him. He was pretty much 100%. But then you could just tell after doing some racing, he was nowhere near 100% with how big of a limp he was having. Ken Roczen, I mentioned earlier in the kind of half season, first half of the season report thing, he had a sprained AC joint in his shoulder. He ended up qualifying 10th with a 59.338. So even with that, still just a couple seconds off the pace, which is absolutely insane. It just seems like another year of bad luck for old Ken Roczen. He's in a good spot for the championship. He has Tampa happen. Finishes 21st there after not being able to finish. And then he has the big practice crash on an off week, where you're just trying to, usually just trying to heal up whatever nicks and bruises you have. Went the wrong way for Ken Roczen. Christian Craig made his season debut, qualified 14th with a 1:00.057. First guy in the 1 minute time frame there. So, nothing too crazy besides what happened to old Malcolm Stewart. So, we will get on to main event number one here for the 450s. Aaron Plessinger, he had that KTM. Both KTMs were starting very good, all three races. AP grabs the hole shot. And Sexton was right there, right behind him. Cooper Webb on crossing the hole shot line was in sixth. And then Cooper Webb did tip it over, went all the way down to 16th. It was a very fast crash, down, back up, very quick. Same spot that happened to Seth Hamaker. I'm not sure exactly what the reasoning is. Watching it in slow-mo, it looks, I don't know, kind of like he stalls it but there's also, you see quite a bit of dirt kick up on his way down. So I don't, he just kind of tipped over awkwardly. I honestly think he stalled it and, I don't know, maybe got it back running right before he hit the ground. I don't know how he would do that, but that's kind of what it looks like to me. And he was right behind Chase Sexton when that happened, and then went all the way down to 16th place after that. Chase Sexton and Jason Anderson. I thought Sexton was not going to finish the night based on how this pass happened. He just straight up took the front tire off of Jason Anderson. For second place. Right after the finish line, going into the next 180 left-hand bowl corner, Anderson looked like he tried to slow up to cut underneath, and Sexton just, his back tire was there, puts Anderson on the ground, which was the start to a very long night for Jason Anderson. I thought, oh boy. I think I even tweeted out that Chase Sexton better watch his back for the rest of the night. Anderson did try to get his shot in early in the second main, but was unsuccessful. Very next lap, Chase Sexton, same exact spot, right after the finish line, went for the pass on his teammate. No contact this time. There was plenty of room. I think Plessinger knew he was there and kind of slowed up in the corner as well. Sexton went on, gapped him by 3.8 seconds to take the main event number one win, with Plessinger in second, Malcolm Stewart in third, Ken Roczen with the sprained AC joint, still able to finish in fourth. Thought, okay, maybe it's not going to be as bad of a night as it possibly could be for Ken Roczen. But it wasn't, still wasn't a very good night. And Jason Anderson, after the crash, finished fifth. And Cooper Webb climbed his way back up to seventh place here. So now on to main event number two. Pretty much carbon copy, I believe is the phrase. AP grabbed another hole shot, and this is where Anderson tried to take his shot back at Sexton. He was inside where they, of course, did not post the start. Okay, perfect. Good job. Anderson tried to take his shot at Sexton. Wasn't able to do it. Cooper Webb did get a lot better of a start, and then it was his turn to take out Jason Anderson's front tire. This time he did it right before the whoops. And once again, Anderson on the ground, finishing this race in eighth place. So what started out as what looked like a promising night for Jason Anderson, riding in second, taken out by Sexton in race one, taken out by Cooper Webb in race number two. And once Sexton got into the lead here in this second race, there was a point where Malcolm Stewart was catching him, and I honestly thought we were going to get another Tampa replay. Maybe not with Sexton going down, but I thought Malcolm was going to be able to catch him and make the pass. Just didn't quite have the chance to do that. So Sexton, first two races, two wins, goes 1-1. Podium stayed the same, just flip-flop second and third for this race, with Malcolm Stewart getting second and the Cowboy Aaron Plessinger finishing in third, with Cooper Webb having a much, much, much better performance, finishing fourth here in race number two after keeping it up on two wheels the entire race and taking out one of Jason Anderson's wheels in the process. Main event number Trey, once again, I don't think that means three in any language. Chase Sexton, great jump. I said those KTMs were getting good starts. All three races, three great jumps for Sexton. Plessinger, I can't remember. I'm pretty sure he had a pretty good start. Didn't have the bestest finishes. Plessinger finished fifth. Rewatching it, yeah, Plessinger was up there in third coming across the whole shot line. So three great starts for both of the KTM boys. And this time, Cooper Webb got his start. He was right behind Sexton, which he was able to eventually take the lead. Sexton's, it seemed like his rear wheel kind of slid out a little bit, lost some traction, and that's when Cooper Webb was able to make a pass coming out of the corner there. Sexton stayed in second, finished in second. Cooper Webb did go on to win the race with 6 minutes left in the main event. Main event number three, I should say. I wrote down Sexton looking big picture. Very, very, very different from what he did in Arlington, where he was not looking big picture and he chased down Cooper Webb, caught Cooper Webb and crashed, lost the overall. This time, used his head. Like I mentioned earlier in the show, compared him to the old Kawasaki Eli Tomac before his championship. Looked big picture, didn't do anything crazy this race, and was able to make up a handful of points. Malcolm Stewart finishes on the podium here in main event number three. And Ken Roczen, another strong fourth place finish, putting the overall podium as Chase Sexton with 1-1-2, Malcolm Stewart 3-2-3, and Aaron Plessinger 2-3-5. Kind of the same situation for Cooper Webb as Seth Hamaker in the 250 class. First race crash. Really killed his night. It's kind of funny, not funny, but interesting that it happened in the exact same turn, lap one for both of them in race number one, which kind of ruined both of their nights. Ken Roczen, very strong, finishing fifth overall with a 4-6-4 scores. I've mentioned it. I think he's out of the championship at this point. He's 27 points back. Chase Sexton only 8 points back, going to Seattle, where who knows what the weather can be. It just sucks to see Ken Roczen not be able to ride to his full ability and to the ability that we were able to see him ride with in Daytona and Anaheim 1, all the other high-level podium performances that he had this season. 450, big takeaways. Kenny practice crash, sprained his AC joint, talked about that a lot, so we'll move on from that one. Chase Sexton learned big from his mistake that he made in Arlington, did not try to do the same thing here in Birmingham this past weekend. Really, really surprised, honestly. I think maybe the break. He said going into the break, usually these breaks help me. So maybe he got a little mental clarity or whatnot, was able to really just big picture championship. Winning this third main event is not as important as staying in second and winning the overall. He also mentioned that he's not going to try and pinpoint his bike setup perfect. He's going to get it close, and then he's going to do with that as he can. He's been over the years, he's been big on if the bike's not perfect, that's the reason why he struggled a little bit, or the bike's not perfect, that's what the crashes are from. He said that now he's just going to take what the bike can give him and do what he can with it and make it the best that he can. The last one, Malcolm Stewart, I was very, very impressed. Gets his second podium of the year. This time a second place, unlike his first one being a first place. Very impressed with how he rode, just in general. The fact that it looked like he could barely walk after race number two. And then to go out and put out 3-2-3 scores, triple crown. Ooh, that'll be a big takeaway after this one. So this is not the last one. Triple crown cannot be very easy on him. Short rest, three starts, three main events. So three times you really got to go out there and put it all out there. Yes, normal races, heat race, you got to go out there and do your best. But hey, if you're ninth or better in a heat race, you can kind of calm down a little bit and not push forward and risk anything. But in these triple crowns, you need to go all out the entire time. So now, my last big takeaway. Triple crowns. The 450 podium, got asked about it in the press conference, and they did not seem to like triple crowns. I don't believe Sexton talked on it. So it was just Plessinger and Malcolm Stewart. Malcolm Stewart said he's happy they're done. Not a big fan of them. Aaron Plessinger said, yeah, I'm sure they're good for the fans, but he's also not really a big fan of them. So kind of interesting to see what the format will be for Triple Crowns going forward, how many Triple Crowns there are. But that was the last Triple Crown event for this 2025 season. Taking a look now at Seattle. One very long rhythm lane goes pretty much their entire length of the floor there. And then there's another one with, what is, maybe double, single into the whoops, or you can go triple into the whoops maybe. They got a little berm on the inside of this turn. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out before the whoop section. Pretty long start. Looks like it's probably about three quarters of the length of the track. Holy smokes. Floor. I could not think of words there. No sand section in Seattle, probably because it would become a giant mud pit. And with that being said, Thursday, 95% chance of rain in Seattle. Friday, 85% chance of rain in Seattle. Saturday, 65% chance of rain in Seattle. That's going to make for a very messy track, I do believe. I know they got giant tarps that they put over the whole track, but you can't tarp the track off when it's time to race. It'll be interesting to see if they do press day or not with the rain possibilities up there in the old Pacific Northwest. But yeah, very excited for this. Seattle, usually a mudder. Could be our first mudder of the year after we had about 7 of them last year. So, mud race. Let's make some predictions. Honestly, mud race, I would have picked Ken Roczen, but I just don't see it with that sprained AC joint. Last year in Seattle, it came down to Chase Sexton, Cooper Webb. Last lap, Cooper Webb was able to get the best of Chase Sexton. I don't see that happening this year. Give me the Illinois boy, Chase Sexton. I think he's going to just keep this momentum going. He's got, I guess it's the first 4 races of the season and the last 5 races of the season. 90% of his wins have come in that span. Not quite in the last 5 yet, but still. I think Chase Sexton keeps this momentum from Birmingham rolling on into Seattle. So give me Chase Sexton as my 450 pick. 250. Man, 250 West is coming back. Hayden Deegan, 6-point lead over Julian Bomare. If Levi Kitchen was over there, it'd be Levi Kitchen automatic, because I remember last year he went out there and just dominated everybody in Seattle. But he is on the East Coast now, so that's not going to happen. Cole Davies. I see a Cole Davies ride coming. The New Zealander rookie. Give me Cole Davies in the 250s. Yeah, and if it's raining, give me Cody Shock on the podium as well. Because it was, I believe it was San Francisco last year, big mud race. He was able to get on the podium. So I think if we get another mudder, Cody Shock will get back onto the podium. But Cole Davies, 250. Chase Sexton keeping the momentum rolling into Seattle on the 450s. And that will do it here for this episode of Talkin' Moto. Sucks that I wasn't able to find time last week to get the first half review out. But we got it early in the show this time with a little bit over first half review. Talkin' _ Moto on X. Go follow, go like, comment, repost. Would very much appreciate it. And we will be back next week. Maybe talking rain, maybe not talking rain, but we will be talking moto. See ya.